Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I needed to talk about ice cream tonight. I need some ice cream tonight. But in lieu of that, we're talking about ice cream. And I love how many of you have already responded with your favorite toppings or even your favorite ice cream combos. We actually had one woman who, as Chris labeled her, was a contrarian on social media and just said, no, I like my plain vanilla. Survey says, what we're looking for is toppings, kind of along the lines of what we did with burgers a week ago. So your favorite ways to decorate your ice cream. I haven't put mine up on Facebook yet, but I did tweet them, A-Law Radio, and I'll put them up on Facebook as soon as I have an opportunity after hours with Amy Lawrence. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And it's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. So to recap, ice cream. The latest with Major League Baseball, not good. And a fun conversation with College Football Hall of Famer and former Niners Super Bowl champ Randy Cross, which I'm excited to share with you now here on CBS Sports Radio. I had a chance to catch up with Randy a couple of days ago, and it was during the daytime, and he was outside, and he was so happy. And we started out by talking about right now what is pervasive in the NFL, which is the topic of social injustice and a lot of athletes stepping up to ask the NFL to make changes and the league committing to that. And so I wanted to know from Randy's perspective why this time with the NFL is different.
I think the mood of the country, the mood of the sport, I think the mood of the participants tells you a lot about this from that regard is different. And, you know, the $250 million they committed, I think for them, you know, says that they're serious. And I'd be actually, frankly, pretty surprised if that's all they put against it.
What did you think of Roger Goodell's video that he released a couple weeks ago?
I think it's necessary for everybody that's sort of in positions of authority like that, that you got to do those kind of things and you've got to make those kind of statements. It seems like almost overstating the obvious, but, you know, I don't think you can leave too much for guesswork these days.
For sure. And in the midst of everything else, we still have the, you know, the concerns about how to get teams back to training camp and how to keep some semblance of standard and normal. And it was kind of funny to hear the comments from Coach John Harbaugh about how the NFL's ideas are unrealistic and impossible. What do you think about training camp in the midst of a pandemic, Randy?
You know, in light of sort of what has gone on for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, I'm not sure, and maybe we'll be kind of snapped back and reminded, you know, I'm not sure how much of an isolation type of situation that we're currently in. So it's going to be a lot easier to imagine college football having training camp and right. NFL having training camp. I think what's people are going to have the hardest time wrapping their heads around is going to be the crowds. And you know, where are you going to start? You're going to start at 25%, you're going to start at 50%, you're going to start empty. You know, by the time September comes around, you know, there's no telling. I'd love to, and of course we will, sort of preserve a lot of the comments made and a lot of the audio done and the video done and compare them to what actually happens when this whole thing gets going.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask you, as someone who's been entrenched in both the NFL and college football, Randy, for a long time, which sport do you think will be odder and stranger if there aren't full stadiums?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. It'll be college football, because, you know, so much, wherever you want to think about it, whether it's at Clemson or Alabama or SC and UCLA or Washington, or, you know, make your pick, the 12th man at A&M, you just associate the game and you associate the teams with their fans and with their crowds. And I think, you know, until further notice, until we get back to full stadiums and full crowds, you can almost, you know, do away with the whole idea of home field advantage. Because without those crowds, that home field advantage, I think, is, it's not negated, but you can definitely see it from there.
So you've got guys who are talking about how they're willing to be mic'd up. They think it'll be entertaining. But others I've heard think that actually will give way too much of an advantage to coaches who, say, are watching the tape. What do you think about having players being able to be heard, not just across the line of scrimmage, but then when coaches are going back to scout?
I think, Amy, I think it'd be fantastic. It's much more likely to happen in the college game, given the paranoia in coaching in general, but especially in the NFL. I'm really curious to see what happens. Though I do think the whole idea of being able to hear more than just the quarterback is something that is going to be really cool to watch and to see and to listen to, because you know, you're just not going to be able to face shield. You know, I've seen some of these designs on the helmets. it would sound like you got somebody mic'd up in a phone booth if the guy's got a shield on his across his entire face. That and he'll have a hard time breathing with the humidity and the heat in the summertime.
Right.
But it'll be an interesting sound, but it'd be fun to see.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it's the one area where players remain a mystery to a lot of fans, right? I mean, I really enjoy hearing, you know, what they have to say if you're sitting courtside at a basketball game, but you don't often get that close on a football field. And so to have that kind of access, I mean, it's almost unprecedented.
Yeah, it is, as long as you have the disclaimer up front that, you know, this is not PG language. I know the networks will be playing kind of a dangerous game. Running all the audio, I would sure imagine, but it'll be interesting for the fans. I mean, that was the whole idea. I mean, Amy, remember back, what was it, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, they were talking and actually some preseason, and they used it very judiciously, but umpires and people like that being mic'd.
Right.
And they were going to capture the essence of the game. Well, the essence of the game tends to get a little frisky at times. There are a lot of action verbs involved in the process. So, we'll see how successful that is.
Randy, I don't know if you've been watching the live golf, but there was an F-bomb dropped within minutes of when CBS, or the Golf Channel, excuse me, first went on the air with the Charles Schwab Challenge. So I think even in golf, a sport that seems relatively tame, you're going to have that problem.
Oh yeah, I know. I know. Every Saturday morning when I'm playing with the boys, that's about right. It does not take a hole for that word to be played. So yeah, it's going to happen. It's a natural reaction, especially with golf, with something you really can't control.
That's true, with mics everywhere. Randy Cross is a former Super Bowl champ with the 49ers, part of the football media now, is a football analyst for both college and pro. That's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Randy, when you think about the challenges for college football, because of the fact that it's a sport that's primarily played on campuses, what are the major hurdles to try to get the entire season in?
Well, I think it's got a lot to do, you know, because it's not only the states, it's school systems. There's so many different people to appease. Can you play a college football season if the school isn't 100% back in attendance? And to me, it's, you know, can you do it a virtual classroom kind of a thing and then still play? I'm not sure. It's going to be a matter of the decisions, being made by the people in charge of how flexible they want to be in order to get the game in or the games in. Because, you know, I honestly, from a safety standpoint, there are some areas and some people would tell you that, you know, it's going to be late into the fall before you get a campus full of kids like you're used to. So I think that there's going to have to be some negotiation and a little bit of give and take when it comes to that.
Interestingly, my younger niece is a student at Virginia Tech, and the school has told them that they will return to campus for classes in August. However, because they're already planning for a second wave, if that comes along, that she should expect to be online doing classes between Thanksgiving and the start of the spring semester. So according to VaTech, they're not bringing kids back after Thanksgiving for that 3-week period before they take the break at the end of winter semester. And me, in my cynicism, thought, oh, that's so they can get the college football season in because of how much money it generates.
That's not cynicism. I think that's being a little bit on the realistic side, to be honest with you. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, didn't you notice when everybody started discussing when students would come back, when players would come back, when crowds would come back, when, you know, when the games would resume, the one thing that wasn't talked about much was the one thing that pretty much decides how things happen in this world, and that's the money. Because the money, especially for college football, is, you know, that which drives this entire bus. I mean, it's a lot of money that these schools need from the television networks to put their product on the air and to fuel their athletic departments. And I think that's something that, you know, that's the part that tends to get a little bit more negotiable when it comes down to that time.
Randy Cross with us here After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, with the college football and the fact that they've got so many different conferences and entities and leadership voices involved. Who should make the final call when it comes to the right way to do this or the safe way to do this?
I don't think there's any other way but to do it by conference. You know, you'd like to be able to say each, because every conference contains teams that are going to get guidance from their states. And there are some states that are being a little bit more aggressive, but I think it's got to be done by conference. And, you know, the logical side of your brain tells you, just by the way this pandemic has happened and the way things have been laid out, and the pace at which some areas are and are not coming back, there'll be some unique challenges. I mean, for instance, the state of California and the Pac-12, if the state of California decides that, you know, they're not going to wait for a second wave, they're just going to slowly but surely open, and it's going to get into Christmas time or so before things get into quote-unquote normal, you know, that's going to be challenging for the four California schools in the Pac-12. So I don't see any other way that you're going to have to do this by conference. And they've done nothing the last few months but check with each other and work with each other and get all the little things planned out. That's the one thing about what you're going to eventually see on TV. It's just the tip of the iceberg, because there's a gigantic Titanic underneath that iceberg that has already been planned, and the different ways that they want to, you know, the different ways that they want to be able to allow for it.
What happens when you've got one conference who's doing one thing and another conference who's doing something different, and those two conferences have, I don't know, a non-conference game, some type of place where they're supposed to meet in the middle?
Yeah, I think that's stuff that has to be negotiated now with the contingencies allowed for. You know, what happens, you know, if the opening game for Navy and Notre Dame that was supposed to be in Dublin, for instance, that is now going to be in Annapolis.
Hmm.
So, you know, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to, you know, what happens if there's an issue with the university at Notre Dame? What happens if there's an issue at the academy? What happens if there's an issue in the city? I don't know. I'm glad there's people in a pay grade above me that will spend a lot of time planning these things. But this is going to put a whole new meaning to the word contingent.
It is. In fact, it's funny you say that, because as you were talking, I was thinking the same exact thing. I'm glad it's people above my pay grade who are figuring this out. Randy Cross is with us from Florida here on After Hours, a three-time Super Bowl champ with the Niners as an offensive lineman. Randy, what do you like about these new Niners that went to the Super Bowl last year?
You know, I love that defense. I love the way that specifically that front seven can attack people and the way they go after the quarterback. Offensively, they do some pretty cool things. Jimmy G's got a lot of upside that he still hasn't really used. You know, it's unfortunate that their season ended the way it did for the Niner organization. Their last two have kind of ended that way. But the good thing about them is the way they've drafted, the way they've approached their signings and everything else. I think they've positioned themselves to be right there again, you know, come late December, early January, as one of those teams that's going to end up in the Super Bowl again, because they do have that kind of talent and they do have that kind of staff.
I've been really impressed with the pairing of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. And to me, it feels like they have an advantage because they're not changing administrations in the midst of a pandemic. These guys have shown they're pretty solid, that, you know, they kind of are like an old married couple. They finish each other's sentences. How much of an advantage is that when you've got a group in place, a coaching staff, a front office in place, as opposed to trying to change everything in the middle of video conference calls?
Yeah, well, the advantage was born 3 or 4 years ago when Jed York was smart enough, and that organization was smart enough to sign both those guys to 6-year contracts at the same time. And they basically said, we're going to have stability in our most important positions. And they're not on the field. To me, the most important positions are the head coach and the general manager from an organizational standpoint as far as to encourage stability. And they did that, and it paid off in spades because, you know, a couple years later, they're dominant. They've really, and John Lynch has made some really smart trades and really smart moves that have given Kyle sort of the toys he needs to play with.
Yeah, they definitely seem like they have an advantage. They're ahead of the curve, so to speak. You can find Randy on Twitter at RandyCrossFB. So part of the College Football Hall of Fame, Super Bowl champ, and All-Pro as a Niners offensive lineman. Sir, it's great to catch a couple of minutes with you. Thank you so much for the time.
Oh, Amy, it's my pleasure. It really is.
Randy Cross. It's a lot of football wisdom and knowledge packed into that brain of his. And really interesting to hear his thoughts on the Niners, yes, but also on college football and about how the lack of fans will not just affect atmosphere, but will affect scouting. Just really need to pick his brain. So I appreciated that. And I hope that you enjoyed that conversation. He's much more laid back too. But it was good to talk to him. And, of course you can find him on Twitter as well. And in the time since I talked to Randy, the reports out there that Kyle Shanahan agreed to a brand new deal, 6 more years. And that's how happy the Niners are. So it's not only one that extends what he's got, but it replaces the 3 years remaining on his deal, no doubt, with a handsome raise, ties him to the Niners organization through 2025, and would catapult him into the top five among highest paid coaches in the NFL. So as Randy points out, the fact that they've got stability and longevity at that job and that position, along with John Lynch, I mean, that's so critical for their success and also continuity moving forward. Let's see, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. It's always good to hear from you. We are talking football when we can, but there's not a whole lot. We're about to go into the dead period, the quiet period, which is typical of late June into about the third week in July. But we always like to mix in some football. We had all of the commissioners from the four major team sports in the U.S. plus Major League Soccer that were part of a roundtable on ESPN. Roger Goodell, his comments were about Colin Kaepernick and about the change that the NFL wants to be a part of. Rob Manfred's much more about the season. Same thing with Gary Bettman. Adam Silver, really thoughtful, and also Damian Lillard made an appearance. So if you have any thoughts about that, love to hear from you. It's not a done deal yet for the NBA. That they will have these 22 teams show up in Orlando. Adam Silver left the door open for players to not show up and potentially even an entire squad. And so it's a fluid situation, but we'll give you the latest coming up. 855-212-4227. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The 49ers just 1-7 on third down. They need this one now. Sanders and Debo are right. Bourne left. Garoppolo back. He's chased out. He's going to roll to his right and look to throw. He throws for the end zone. Caught by George Kittle. Right on the goal line. Touchdown! San Francisco!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Oh, I miss it. I miss play-by-play. I miss the excitement of a big game with that type of drama. I got to tell you, I'm having a hard time coming up with any energy to absorb the current drama that we have in sports, where everything is played out on social media. Everything is a fight on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And I understand it. People have more time on their hands, not just athletes, but those who cover the athletes, those who comment on the athletes and the games. I mean, because we are disconnected in terms of being able to do much together and in person, and obviously there aren't any games going on right now in the major team sports. It's become the game to be on social media all the time. And gosh, it's just an ugly look. There's so much drama in Major League Baseball that at some point I feel like I'm watching a really bad reality show and just not interested in it anymore. And I said this on last night's show, just play ball. I don't care how many games. I don't care if it's a season that deserves an asterisk. I don't care if it results in a grievance. I don't care if the owners lose money, the players lose money. Hell, everyone in America is losing money right now. I mean, there's hardly anybody who's making out like a bandit during this spring, unlike any other. So it just, I've gone past the point at which I care about the nuances and the details. And even as I was watching Rob Manfred on the SportsCenter special on Monday night, and I was interested in his comments. Now, it was taped a couple hours beforehand, but just the disingenuity. I don't even know if that's a word. It was disingenuous. It was one-sided, of course. And then you see the blast on social media from the players and the Players Association, and it's gotten ugly where I'm ready to turn it off. I turned off the news a couple of months ago because no matter what network I watch, where I turn, it's all negative. It's all pot shots. It's all just, it's so heavy and depressing, and I couldn't operate like that. Not if I was not going to have any other amusements is a weird word, but any other options to be able to counterbalance that. And so the house and the moving process has been a nice distraction, and I appreciate the fact that I have something in my personal life to throw my efforts into. But for my own mental health, I had to stop watching the news, and Major League Baseball has become like that. It's bad for the brain. It's bad for the heart. It just, I'm ready to start turning a deaf ear to it until something new actually happens, which at this point, I'm ready to say, you know, wake me when there's a start date. I hate that. I hate that it's become like this. It's already hard enough to survive during the spring, you know, with the economic downturn and the virus and the health concerns and the travel restrictions and so much of the burden that's been placed on Americans and people around the world. Just right now, we're speaking about American and Canadian sports fans, and there are enough challenges that we have to go through on a daily basis that baseball just it's become this noise, this white noise that I'm ready to tune out. Ready to tune it out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This is why we're talking about ice cream on this show. Now, the NBA is not quite in that same boat. Commissioner Adam Silver, he was very thoughtful in his comments on ESPN. And he says he understands that some players may decide not to go to Orlando. Some players may opt out of the return, even if they are part of the 22 teams that will be invited. And so they're still dealing with some of the concerns, some of the health issues and how does this work and the whole idea of being sequestered. And there is still a vocal faction of players that think it's better to just scrap it, to just forget about the 1920 season, for whatever reason, whether it's the health concerns, whether it's the format doesn't appeal to them, whether it's the social activism side of it and believing that a boycott will draw more attention to their voices and to their causes and to, you know, their concerns. I mean, that's a personal issue, right? I don't know. Not everybody believes that, obviously, but I don't know if that's the case. You can't really know that until after the fact. But every action has a consequence. And if the players do decide collectively not to show up in Orlando, they'll get locked out and there'll be a labor stoppage or a work stoppage. Excuse me. You know, the labor deal will get scrapped in basketball as well. So it's not quite as tenuous as baseball, but it's certainly not a done deal anymore. So we'll give you the latest and some of the comments from Adam Silver, Damian Lillard as well as part of that round table on ESPN on Monday night. And then we want your favorite ice cream topping. So we're looking for your top three in order. It's important that it be in order. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, you guys have given me something to think about. Like Doug, who says Nerds. That's the only thing he has. Favorite ice cream topping, Nerds. He has no other topping that he has submitted. So that's it. Anyway, we'll get to some of your comments on Twitter and Facebook as well. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
What are your favorite ice cream toppings? We're asking you for the list in order. I have put my list now on both Twitter and Facebook, so I hope that you will find it. A-Law Radio, and you're looking for the ice cream cones. Actually, I'm not a cone person. I'm a dish person. That's a whole nother debate in and of itself. But waffle cone, if I'm going to have a cone, waffle cones. But I don't typically like cones. I much prefer a dish. And I can do multiple toppings, but I also get in this mode where I just want the one topping. That's it. And my honorable mention, if we could have had a fourth topping on the list, would have been whipped cream, because everything is better with Cool Whip and with whipped cream. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can also find my top three on our Facebook page. I finally went ahead and put the list there, though it wasn't nearly as easy as you would think, at least not when my brain is this tired. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to the latest from Adam Silver and the NBA, but first let's talk to Steve, who's in San Diego. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy, thanks for having me. I just discovered you since I started this night job, and love your show.
Oh, awesome. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, and I want to start off by saying that the threat of not having baseball is really crappy here in San Diego, because that's the last of our horses in all the races. You know, we don't have any more big league, you know, anything. So we already lost our football team. We lost both of our basketball teams throughout the years. And, you know, if we don't get an MLS soccer team here, we're not going to ever have anything other big besides the Padres to celebrate. And they're so up and coming that this is the wrong time for all this to happen for us.
Oh, yeah. There's never really a right time, but I can understand why for fans of teams who are young and hungry, and they kind of feel like they finally found some solid footing on which to build, a foundation on which to grow, it definitely does feel like it hurts even worse.
Yeah, it does. It's already hurt enough in the NFL, the scar of the NFL.
Sure.
But, you know, I wanted to go over to the ice cream topics. I didn't hear anybody bring up Magic Shell. Now, I don't mess with it too much. But when that stuff came out, that was like the greatest invention since the actually sliced bread. And just putting that stuff on and watching it crisp up and then busting it up and eating it was a thing.
Yes, I love Magic Shell. And you can buy it still in the store. Every now and then I see it. You can still buy it. But you're right. There was this Magic Shell craze for a long time where that was what everyone put on their ice cream.
Yeah, it was super cool. And, you know, like you said, I didn't want to put whipped cream, but doesn't that just go without saying? Isn't that kind of just a topping instead of on top of the other ones anyway? So, I went with the Magic Shell, the Marciano Cherries. And, I already forgot what else I put, but on that part, you know, you got to have whipped cream no matter what. And I just want to say again, I love your show, and, let's get some more Dallas Cowboys on, huh?
Yeah. Well, when we get to football, we definitely will. The news from the Dallas Cowboys, though, the big news was that Ezekiel Elliott either has or had the virus. His agent outed him, and he was none too happy about it. Actually, posted something about the HIPAA laws on social media. It doesn't sound like it's anything that he needs to worry about, but that's definitely going to be a concern moving forward, whether or not these guys can stay healthy and stay virus free or catch it early enough that whoever has it isn't going to be around the rest of the team. So for right now with football, they have the luxury of sitting back and watching what everyone else is doing. Steve, it's good to talk to you. Thanks so much for your phone call in San Diego. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We do have a couple of people who've mentioned Magic Shell. I just haven't gotten to those tweets yet, but here are a few on Twitter. Kenny says, hot fudge, whipped cream, cherries. Yes, I'm old school. I stick with the classics. You can never go wrong with the classics. Let's see. Paging down. Jay says, I just bought a new ice cream maker and a bushel of peaches. It's summertime in Texas. I have this recipe. It's not an ice cream maker, so not the machine. But I do have this recipe to make your own ice cream. And I wanted to try it last year and I never did. I don't know why. Maybe I was, well, at the time my mom and I were doing Weight Watchers. And so ice cream didn't seem like a real smart idea. But I do have it. As I was packing up some papers and my daily calendar, I saw the recipe tucked into a different part in the calendar and determined that I am going to try it this summer. And we are mere days away now from the summer solstice and the actual start of summer, though many cases people look at Memorial Day as the start of summer, but hoping that it brings kind of a shift and maybe more optimism and hope, though sometimes it's hard to find right now. Andrew on Twitter, chocolate chips, cookie dough on top of ice cream. That's interesting. And caramel. And then, as I mentioned, Doug just wrote one word, nerds. Favorite ice cream topping, nerds. The nerds are delish. They are an underrated candy, I will say that. But nerds on ice cream, I've never tried that. I'm not above it or anything, but I've never tried it. Justin, number one, marshmallow sauce. Ooh, marshmallow anything, yes. Chubby bunny, anyone? Number two, he also says cookie dough. And then number three is Reese's peanut butter cups crushed up. Gosh, this is making me hungry for a big old thing of ice cream with all this stuff on top. Let's see. Zach on Twitter, rainbow sprinkles, Reese's pieces. That's one candy I don't actually like. Oreo crumbles, for sure. Susan on Twitter, Bailey's. Is that the alcohol? Chris, is that the alcohol, Bailey's?
It's the only kind I know.
So what is on ice cream? Have you ever had it on ice cream?
No, I mean, I've had a Bailey's milkshake, which is has like a scoop of ice cream in it, which is delicious.
Uh-huh.
But it's not an actual topping. I don't know if you can clarify it that way or not.
Maybe. So it's a liquid, correct?
Yeah, in any form I've ever had it, okay. It's a liquid.
I know nothing about alcohol, which is why I have to ask Chris.
Hey, Bailey's with ice cream, you can't go wrong. And it's not going to get you really drunk unless you have like an entire bottle of it, which I don't recommend.
Huh.
That's a hangover you don't want to deal with.
I'll take your word for it. So Susan says Bailey's chocolate syrup and chocolate sprinkles on vanilla ice cream. So maybe mix it all together in a bowl. That doesn't sound like it would work on a cone. Let's see. Kent, salted caramel. Ooh, salted caramel is delish. Number two, hot fudge. Number three, blueberry pie. Wait a minute. I thought the ice cream went on top of the pie, not the other way around.
See, again, I think we're mixing up our consistencies here. I don't know where this is going.
I don't either. Mark on Twitter, hot fudge pineapple. There we go, Chris. There's one in every crowd. Someone's always throwing pineapple on pizza, on burgers, on ice cream. I swear sometimes people do it just to annoy us. Pineapple
pokes
up its ugly head.
I don't think regular pineapple would be good on ice cream, but I've had like the sweetened pineapple that they put the sugar on top of. You know what I'm talking about? They do it to like mangoes and peaches and other fruits. That on ice cream is really good. I've had that.
Coconut, anyone? I've had coconut on ice cream. It's really good too. It didn't make my top three, nor did whipped cream, but that was hard for me to leave out. Let's see. Another tweet from Sports Skillet Radio. I like the name because it makes me think of eggs.
Sizzling hot takes in the morning.
Sprinkles, cookie dough, maraschino cherries. Bob, strawberries, blueberries. No, I can't make my ice cream healthy. Strawberries, blueberries, and caramel. Matthew on Twitter, brownie pieces, almonds, and pecans. Wait, how do you say it, Chris?
I say pecans, but
okay,
people do. Right. I say pajamas, though. That's where we draw the line.
Again, it seems very inconsistent on your part. David, my top three are Oreo cookie pieces. I could house a package of Oreos right now. Oreo cookie pieces, M&Ms, and chocolate fudge. And he uses the hashtag Twizzler Tuesday. How about that? Hey, where is Dave? Why is Dave not retweeting? Dave, get with the program. These are very important tweets about your top ice cream toppings. Stuart writes to us and says, Mrs. B, so his wife, just bought an ice cream maker. Her Parma Violet ice cream is amazing. Stuart, if you're listening, I have no idea what that is. I'm going to need some clarification on Parma Violet. I do like the color violet. I've never had violet ice cream. Not violent.
I thought when you said Mrs. B, you meant Mrs. Buttersworth, and I was going to have a whole lot of questions there.
No, his last name is Ball, and so he said Mrs. B. And then Tammy on Twitter, favorite ice cream toppings, Hershey's chocolate syrup, which is definitely a throwback, hot caramel, and crumbled graham crackers. Oh, it's like a s'more. That sounds really good. Tammy, that's awesome. Shane didn't quite get the question. He said top three ice creams, so not toppings, but the actual ice cream flavors. Moose Tracks, which is tremendous, butter pecan, cookies, and cream. Shane, you really need to be listening with your ears. Oh, that was annoying. Let's see. Lorenzo says English toffee. I think he's also talking about the actual ice cream. Okay. On our Facebook page, so that's Twitter, A-Law Radio. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, Norm says peanut butter. There we go with the peanut butter. Peanut butter and pineapple. It pops up everywhere. Reese's Pieces whipped cream. Normally, as I'm reading these, I also like them. I'm not going to do that with every single one of them, but I'm going to skip around here. James, caramel, butterscotch, chocolate. Joanne, chocolate syrup, strawberries, butterscotch syrup. My mother loves that and caramel. She loves them both. Let's see. Jim says butterscotch, cashews, and whipped cream with a cherry. Oh, he tried to squeeze in a fourth topping. Dave on Facebook, hot fudge and bananas, and you have to have the maraschino cherries. Josh, Heath bars. Like the whole Heath bar. Reese's cups and frosted animal crackers. That's the second person who I've seen write in about animal crackers. It doesn't, I don't like animal crackers. I never have. I was a weird kid for many reasons. That was just one of them. But animal crackers have never appealed to me. But frosted animal crackers, are they all crumbled up? Kind of like the graham crackers we were just talking about. Adam says baseball just needs some ice cream with sprinkles and chill. Oh, here we go. Melissa, caramel, Spanish nuts. I'm not sure what that is, but I'm sure it's great. And coconut. Woo. There we go. Keith on Facebook, chocolate, nuts, and fresh fruit. I mean, I like fresh fruit, just not typically with my ice cream. Jesse, sprinkles, chopped nuts, hot fudge. And then Todd, peanut butter sauce, chopped peanuts, caramel, or hot fudge sauce. He clearly does not have a peanut allergy. Pretty amazing. Lucky Charms marshmallows, says Bill on Facebook. Your top three ice cream toppings. That's our Twizzler Tuesday question. We're glad to have you on board. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.